This is silly. Are we really going to try to even do an intro right now?
Go, just go. Just start.
Okay. Hi, guys. Rory and I are absolutely dead. We are coming to you dead. We are mustering up some energy right now.
I'm running on like 8 hours of sleep in the past week.
Yeah. Last night I went to bed at 4:40. Was up at 7.
Yeah. Same.
And you're like that sleep schedule, but not you're on top of that, like physical exertion.
Yeah.
I'm just emotionally tired.
But it's weird because I feel great. I don't feel great. I just, it wasn't work, you know?
Well, you're chipper as a little chick.
A chipper chick.
A happy little kid.
But this sucks right now. I don't want to do this at all.
I know. Okay, so this is what's happened this week. It's been a great week. Okay, let's get excited. Woo! Woo! This is an exciting week.
The shop opened.
The shop opened.
And it was a wild success. And we're just getting back home from all of that.
We just sat down and it is like, I don't know what happened. Everything is deflated and it's hit me how tired and how much this has been. But it was seriously, it was so successful. It was so fun. We did a friends and family on Monday. Mm-hmm. That was like the funnest time. It was all of our favorite people showing mm-hmm. them the shop, showing them the secret stuff. And then the very next day, this morning, we wake up, we go to the shop. Mm-hmm. There is a line around the mall. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see the end of it.
No. It got crazy.
It's so crazy. It's been so fun. And you did a really good job, Rory. We could not have done this without you. You came in so clutch. I'm not just saying that.
Thank you. I felt kind of like I found a thing.
It suits me. It doesn't have a name. What are you going to call yourself?
I don't know.
You're like the completer of ideas.
Yeah, the completionist.
You are the completionist. Like you have an idea, give it to Rory. He'll do it. It
gets done.
It's a very wide array of talents that no one, you're not a carpenter, you're not a builder, but you do all the things.
I have all 10 toes kind of dipped in a whole bunch of little ponds.
They really came in handy, but it's been a really fun, exciting time. You guys got to go see the shop. It's in the Riverwoods. It's in Orem and it's lovely.
Yeah.
So fun. It's open.
It's open. Center Street. Just get on Center Street.
It's called Ghost Grocery. So that's the big reveal. They designed it like a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
An old-fashioned grocery store.
With some added... I don't have a word. I'm mentally exhausted.
Some added flair.
I couldn't think of the word secrets just now.
There are
with
some
added
secrets. I know people seen it on Instagram, but everyone's asking me how do they get in? It's kind of random. You got to be picked. You got to be picked. You got to be there at the right time, be the right person, and we will let you into the secret little room in the back.
Yeah.
But that was your secret project. That's what you've been doing the majority, right?
I mean, yeah. That was just, we did the whole store, but that little secret room was kind of just Bronson and Indy just being like, do whatever, go for it. And I was like, okay.
Okay, Rory, how do you feel about talking about boobies?
Boobies?
Boobs. That's what we're talking about this week.
Yeah. Boobs. Boobs are cool.
Boobs are cool. Boobs are cool. Let's keep them cool. We're specifically talking about breast implant illness, which I found out about 3 years ago. And we're talking to someone who specifically dealt with this exact thing. And I think it's important to talk about.
Why not?
Do you know what it is?
I know after listening to this.
But did you know that your breast implants can make you sick before that you heard this show?
I've heard about the like silicon.
Sickness?
What is it? Sickness? I don't know. I remember hearing like, because can't you get a different version? Like you can get silicone or you can get something else.
Saline. So you can get water. But whether you do like the water, the saline or the silicone, it still is covered in like a toxic shell with like plastics and all. The list of ingredients that is in a breast implant is scary.
Why?
Scary.
Here's what we've talked about this before. Just don't fuck with your body.
Yeah.
Just leave it be.
Unless I got some saggy boobs. I've breastfed 3 kids. I've decided to not put anything in my body.
Yeah, it's just too scary.
I'll keep them saggy and nice. They're useful. They're not cute. I don't care. I just don't care.
Nature took over. Gravity took over. Things happen.
Do you notice how he doesn't say, no, they're great. It's because he lives with me and he can literally, it's just his thing now.
I haven't seen your boobs in a long time. Long,
well,
long,
when
long
I walk
time.
Down the stairs, you can hear them. They clap. That's how saggy they are. I'm outing myself right now.
I haven't seen your boob since I guess Ozzy was born.
Yeah. Well, he's only 7.
Yeah, so it's been about 7 years, Wes.
Well, they look the same. But I'm excited to be talking about this one. This one is, I don't want to make anyone feel bad for choosing to get them. I get why people get them. But, I mean, when you know better, you can make a different choice. So this is for all you people that are contemplating it. Just be well informed. If you still choose to get them and you feel safe and great and happy, do you, boo. Do you. But if you got an issue like me, I don't want to mess with my health.
Yeah.
I had Epstein-Barr. I'm not going to get them.
I'm just, my body feels good right now.
No implants.
I'm not going to get breast implants anytime soon.
It's good to know. All right, let's get into it. Should we just start the show?
Well, we should probably let people know that, is it next week?
Oh, yeah. You talk about it.
Next. So we have now both done Kana. And we've like kind of dangled this in front of people. We're going to have a Kana episode. It was supposed to be this week, but we don't want to do it right now.
We're
That's
tired.
Plain and simple.
We just want to take a bath and eat some top ramen.
I'm so exhausted.
Talking about putting chemicals into our body, I want some of that. I want some MSG. I want some,
I just
some
want
weird
to go to
red
bed.
Food coloring.
I want to sleep in, but we'll do. You and I haven't like spoken about it at all because I don't want to because I want it to be the actual conversation on mic.
It will be fun. We're going to split up. So next week is going to be Rory and I solo. So I would love, love, love it. I'll do a little Instagram thing too. If you could write us in some questions, we're going to do like a Q&A and kind of tip off the Kana talk. So if you guys want to write into my, hit me up, Instagram DM, Rory too. Rory is Rory Markham, right? On Instagram?
Yeah, it's just my name.
Okay. Well, let's do that. And let's talk about boobs today. Breast implant illness. We're coming.
I'm not going to talk about boobs, but
I am.
I'm going to listen to you guys talk about boobs.
All right, you guys, enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Wake Up with Wesley. I'm your host, Wesley. And you guys, today I'm sitting with Haley Jordan, founder. Are you the founder? It's
I
your
am.
Thing, right?
It's my thing.
It's the Itty Bitty Titty Goods Instagram page, and I'm all about it.
That's right.
I'm so stoked to have this conversation. It's a weird conversation. Let's just like rip the Band-Aid off. We're talking boobs. All boobs today.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, it is a weird conversation.
I'm into it, though. I think like awareness around this specific topic is so necessary. And I know that there is more information about what we're specifically talking about for this week's episode. We're talking about breast implant illness. And I think it's floating around in the ether. For some people, they're really aware of it. And for the majority of us, they have no idea what this thing is. So really happy that you're here. You're an expert on this. You can explain to me and the listeners kind of what this is.
So I want to clarify quickly by saying I'm not necessarily an expert, but I did have it. So I've lived through it and know what it's like to have breast implant illness. Breast implant illness, and once again, not a doctor, not an expert, essentially just a victim of breast implant illness. But breast implant illness, as far as I understand, is your body trying to fight off an object that's not supposed to be there. It causes a lot of inflammation. And as we know now, inflammation is linked to all sorts of diseases, including things like depression and food insensitivities and extreme pain and those sorts of things. I think that breast implant illness, half the doctors are still saying it's made up. So there are a few experts out there and doctors that believe in it and surgeons that believe in it and have dedicated their lives now to doing explants, but it's very new still.
It is new. And it's so funny. The way that I even found it is so crazy because I wouldn't have known about this. I don't have breast implants. I'm like all natural down here. But I was super sick like how many years ago? Probably 4 years ago now. And I would go to the doctor. Everything would come back. Elevated levels of certain things, but not like a sick person. But I felt ill. It turns out only through going to a functional medicine doctor and really diving in did I find out that I had chronic Epstein-Barr for 7+ years. They're assuming that it was active in my body for 7 years. But everything that I was researching myself online was bringing me to dark little corners of the internet where women are like, my implants are making me sick and I am not believed. And I was jealous. I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I had them because then I could take them out and I would feel better. But that is how I stumbled across this topic. And it kind of lit a fire underneath me. Like, it's something that now I've chosen to never do to my body. And good. I don't judge anyone that chooses to get that done. But I also think the awareness of the potential harm that it can do needs to be more on the forefront. Like, your story definitely needs to be told to the masses. And not to put fear in them, just educate them.
Totally. I don't judge anyone that has implants either. I had them, and I'll tell everyone 1,000 times that I didn't want to get them out. I went down for my surgery, was going to be put under, and up until the second I was put under, I didn't want them out. I wanted to have breast implants because I had small boobs that I didn't like, and they made me look better. So I don't judge anyone either. I just hope that everyone knows the symptoms of breast implant illness if they still decide to get them. I'm an advocate for not getting them now. But I don't judge anyone as well. I totally get it.
So what was your story, your beginning story? Because I think that this part matters. Like, what really pushed you to make the commitment to get the implants? This is something I think all women can relate to.
Yeah, I've been asked this question a lot, actually, of why did I get them? And I'm sure there are dozens of reasons that I'm still unpacking myself. One, the strongest thing in the world is our culture. And the American culture, too, is bigger, better, more, money, 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 money. And so, of course, that seeps into all of us from birth. So I think I wanted something better. I wanted my body to be better. I'm told constantly, as you are and everybody else, that our bodies aren't good enough. So that was probably the number one thing. Years before, I had gotten divorced young. I was married young, divorced young. I think that probably had a part to do with it. I was empowered as well in this decision. I was excited. I had a big girl job where I was making enough money to buy my own implants. So I think there's a lot of things, and not all of them are negative, but the overarching thing probably is that my body wasn't good enough as is, because it wasn't the standard, and it can't be, you know, it never could be, but I tried to make it the standard.
And I think that as women, as men and women, as just like a people, I think that the real reason we commit to any decision is we believe it will make us happier, right? Like, you think, oh, I'm going to do this. It's going to fix a thing in me. It's going to make me more confident. It's going to make me more pleasing outwardly. And the reality of that is maybe that's true. Maybe you do look better in clothes, or you feel more confident. Mm-hmm. But to me, it is just not worth the internal physical health problems that can arise. No. So why is it that when you go get a consultation with the plastic surgeon, that the plastic surgeons say, these are totally safe, these are FDA approved, these are people have been getting implants for 50 years. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. What are your concerns? They almost kind of laugh at you when you are like, are these safe? They're always like, of course they're safe.
Yeah. Well, my surgeon that put them in, I went back to him when I was considering getting them out, and I talked to him about breast implant illness, and he also laughed at me and said it was a social media disease. So I think the reason why many people are laughing about it, or surgeons are saying that they're safe, is one, because maybe they believe it. A lot of studies, and once again, I'm not an expert, but I believe a lot of studies have been put on by the implant companies themselves. So the information is kind of twisted. Two, these surgeons want to make money. And breast implants are huge. You know, they do them every day. They put breast implants in every day.
They're the highest rate of surgery, right? It's the most common plastic surgery.
Yeah, I think so. I think it depends on what country you're in. But I mean, I haven't looked that stat up, but I'm sure it's up there, if not the biggest, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's that they don't want to lose money. I think that the research isn't quite there. I've also heard from other instances that people don't listen to women's pain as much as they do other people's pain. Well, men's pain. And I think that has something to do with it too, is like, oh, you're being dramatic. This is a social media disease. This is kind of made up. Women are crazy or whatever. And so I think that a lot of the problems people are having are kind of ignored in general.
I mean, it's just sad. But the crazy thing that I'm seeing happening is, because when I saw this, like I said earlier, it was in the deep, weird Reddit threads. Like when I found out about breast implant illness. Now, in 4 short years, the topic has kind of grown, and there are big Facebook groups. I mean, there's groups of over 100,000 women all complaining about this same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you have over 100,000 women all saying, this happened to me, and you're not believing that group, even though it may be a marginalized group, maybe it doesn't happen to everyone. I think there's something wrong with that. Like,
yeah,
you got to believe these women.
Yeah, there's a lot of women on the internet suffering with it. It's crazy. There are so many. And what makes me sad is there are so many that are suffering that don't know what it is, because I didn't know what it was for a while. But yeah, it's huge.
What online. So what, how long did you have the implants and what started happening with you specifically? Hold up, guys. We get to talk about the CBD I'm using called Ned. So Ned CBD is science-backed, and there's evidence to prove that it helps with a whole lot of human issues and ailments. So Ned CBD is a natural supplement, and it is used as an anti-inflammatory, a natural pain reliever. It's used to treat anxiety, PTSD, depression. It is a rich source of antioxidants, and it is used to also support hormonal health, especially for women. Oh, this is cool. It's also used as a treatment for much more serious chronic conditions like epilepsy, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and more. And that's a lot, you guys. The best part about it is that it really works too. Like, there's no weird side effects when using CBD compared to pharmaceuticals, and there's no high either. So it's not like THC. It's not like weed. So you don't have to worry about that if it's something that is concerning for you. But what you can expect is that it gets better and better with continued use. Like, the more you use it, the more you feel it working. And I can say that because I've personally noticed a major improvement in my monthly cycles. Like, the lows and the highs are fewer and farther in between, and my PMS symptoms have just significantly improved. And I think the other thing that I've noticed is lessened anxiety just overall. So I take their regular hemp oil in the morning. I leave it by my coffee maker. And then at night, I use their sleep blend. And ooh-wee, peeps. People, the sleep blend, it is next level. Like, Ned's plain hemp oil, it's great. I noticed my sleep improving with that one, just the regular one. But the sleep blend, it took it up a notch. Like, I'm honestly falling asleep now at 10 p.m. And I was a person that ever since I was, like, an adolescent, like, from 12 years old, 12, 13, I would stay up till 1, 2, sometimes 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just thought that was the way I was wired. I'm a night owl. But no, not anymore. I fall asleep early and then I wake up early and I don't feel groggy in the morning. It is truly changing my life. So, I mean, on top of this, Ned is science-backed. So if you're looking for a nature-based solution that offers up alternatives to prescriptions and over-the-counter drugs, then this is Ned. So if you want to check out Ned and try out their CBD for yourself, we have a special offer for the Wake Up with Wesley audience. You can go to www.helloned.com/Wesley, where you can check out for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. So that is helloned.com/Wesley and enter the discount code Wesley to get 15% off your first order plus free shipping. So thank you, Ned. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah. So I had them for about 5.5 years and they were fine for a while. 3 years in, I did CrossFit for a while, and 3 years in, I started getting really, really severe neck and back pain. And because I was doing CrossFit, CrossFit's hard on your body. I was like, oh, this is a CrossFit injury. So I believed it was a CrossFit injury for a long time. What would really affect my pain in my body was if I ate anything with corn in it. And in America, everything's made of corn, pretty much. Every product thing has corn in it. So that would, if I ate anything with corn, corn syrup, corn starch, my neck and back would seize up so much that it literally felt like I was going into like rigor mortis, like I was dying. My body was starting to stiffen. So that was happening. I've had a lot of eye problems, like very severely dry eyes, all sorts of stuff like that. And once again, like my case of breast implant illness is a nice, gentle case. Like many people are very, very messed up from this. And mine was just a lot of inflammation. I've healed from most of it now, but it was, the worst was the neck and the back pain from food. And also like I couldn't eat dairy all of a sudden. Like they were sudden food allergies that I'd never had.
Yeah. That's what everyone says, is that it messes with your gut. And when your gut is all screwed up, then you develop food allergies. That I'm sure you could probably eat corn before this happened. Like that's the weirdest.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it's so hard dairy, to pinpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then you also think like, oh, this happens. Like I'm in America. I'm eating bad food. Sometimes we don't have the best food. We all know that. So it's hard to say like, oh, I'm sick from something. Sometimes you just think, oh, my neck and back pain's from CrossFit. I'm getting older, so maybe that's why my gut's acting weird. You know, you don't really know that breast implants could even be causing any of these issues. We also know that your gut health is extremely important for like depression and anxiety. Like you have to have a healthy gut to have a healthy mind. And so this issue isn't just like, oh, my body hurts a little bit. This is, breast implants are a life and death issue. I wouldn't be surprised if many women have killed themselves over being depressed, not knowing that something inside of them was making them sick and causing them inflammation and messing up their gut and causing them extreme chronic pain, you know, all of these things. So it's kind of a huge issue.
It is a freaking huge issue, yeah. Man. And it's,
I'm passionate about it.
I'm so just, there's so many things about you that I like, because I appreciate your delivery. I appreciate that you, if you guys go check out her Instagram, first of all, you're a designer. Outside of being an advocate for this, you're a designer. It's, everything is beautifully done. It's so informative. It's educational. And you've experienced it yourself. But you make, it's like this shitty thing happened, but you're making it fun. It's called the itty bitty, titty, good. Like, it's just, I like your approach. And I think it's so necessary for all of us. But I want to know about how you started to connect the dots. How did that process go for you when you really weren't like, okay, this isn't CrossFit. There's something more.
Yeah. So I got a letter from my surgeon, and it was a letter of in May 2019 that my breast implants were recalled by the FDA. And so I learned a bit more about what it meant to have those recalled breast implants. But it turns out the specific implants I had, which were a textured implant, kind of like a gummy bear implant is what they're called. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit harder. They're supposed to last a long time. They were being recalled because they were causing a type of lymphoma in women. Some women were dying from them. So that's what really started this whole discovery of breast implant illness. The textured recalled implants are not an indicator of breast implant illness. Breast implant illness can come from any implant. So that's just a separate thing. It was like a double whammy.
Saline, like a saline breast implant can still cause this.
So the cancer specifically was related to textured implants, but that's different than breast implant illness, which is just basically severe inflammation, and any implant can cause that. Probably even implants that aren't breast implants are causing that in people. So I found out that I had FDA recalled implants, and it got me starting to research a bit more because I was really scared. You know, like I probably wasn't going to die. There's a chance. I had something in my body that the FDA was like, just kidding, this isn't safe. This is killing people. So it was very scary. I started researching a bit. And that's when I found Breast Implant Illness Healing by Nicole on Facebook, which is probably the group you're talking about that's very large. And I started reading through people's testimonies of what was happening to them with breast implant illness. And I realized that I had what these people had. They were talking about severe neck and back pain. They described it in a way like you can't, someone described it in a way of like, you can't crack your neck, but you need to. And I'm like, that's what I've been trying to describe to someone. That's exactly it. What she's saying is what I have. And then sudden food allergies, extreme pain from corn and dairy problems, all of that. I just knew, like I knew in my heart, in my gut, I knew I had it. And then I went into my surgeon, and that's when he told me that breast implant illness was made up, and that he literally told me that I would look bad if I decided to get them out. So I kind of, had an appointment to schedule them to get them replaced with safer, quote, no implant is safe, safer implants. And I just kept listening to my gut, in between when I had that surgery scheduled and, you know, the waiting period, I just kept listening to my gut. And I knew in time that the only option was to get them out. And that later that week, when I knew that I had to get them out, but I still had my appointment scheduled, I was talking to my mom and I said, I know what the right decision is. I know that I'm supposed to get them out, but I might not make the right decision because I didn't want to live life without my fake boobs because my head was so messed up. Of what made me valuable and worthy and important and sexy, as if a girl with small boobs can't be sexy. Like it was just, my mind was, I was in a very dark place. It's a very, very sad place. And I've forgotten some of it now, and I don't want to forget it because I know that women that are deciding to get their implants out now or having a hard time with it are in that dark place. And I want to be able to help them. So I don't want to forget the place that I was in, you know?
It's a confusing thing because you hate them, but you love what they do for you. It's like a toxic relationship. It's literally a toxic relationship. You want it and you hate it all at once. You know it's not good for you. Yeah. But even now, knowing what, even, I can relate to you. I don't have them, but I'm like, damn, that would be so nice. Like to go to the beach and not have a boob fall out left and right, not to have saggy mom boobs. Like that thought, even knowing what I know, I'm like, man, that'd be great. It feels freeing.
Yeah.
But I know that that freeing thought in my mind is, it's not freedom. It's a prison. It's a prison to be sick in your own body. And especially when you feel like you did it to yourself. That's a whole nother layer to this where you feel a certain level of responsibility, like it was a choice that you made. Yeah. And at sometimes it has a negative consequence. Sometimes it doesn't. There's women out there that don't feel like it's affecting them. But in that group that you're talking about, they call it a ticking time bomb. Like you might not be feeling stuff, but it's, you don't know what life event can kind of cause. Maybe your stress level goes up. Maybe you're experiencing grief. And all of that together combined with the toxicity of an implant and the inflammation can turn on an autoimmune disease. You just don't know. You don't know.
And mine took 3 years before I started feeling symptoms. So it didn't happen right away at all. Took a little while. And for some women, it happens when they get their second set, you know, they're fine. And then they get a second set. It's different for each person. It's kind of like COVID, how everyone experiences it differently. It's totally different for each person. Sometimes it can make them sick right away. Maybe in 20 years it makes them sick. It's just so different.
The craziest thing that when I started thinking about this, I remember when I had a kid, my mom was like, listen, never put anything plastic in the microwave. Don't warm up a bottle in the microwave. Don't do anything in the microwave, especially with plastic. Use glass. Like I was a young kid, I was 20, and she was like giving me a fast rundown on how to be a good mom. And it just stuck. I was like, okay, no plastic in the microwave. To this day, if I see people using plastic in a microwave, I'm like, what are you doing? That leaches. Yeah. You heat it up. It leaches. Why on earth? Like we put these things, they're plastic. It's plastic. They put them in our body. Our body's natural temperature is 98 point whatever. It's consistently and constantly in a heated up state. And what they say is impossible, that these things that are make up an implant cannot leach out. They do. And it's mind-blowing to me that like that common sense doesn't cross over to inside of our bodies. We know not to do that with our food, but for some reason those lines get crossed when we are putting plastic into our body.
Yeah. It's easier to sell if we can say that it doesn't hurt us because I mean, body image issues are so powerful. I mean, women all day long, I talk about this. This is like why I'm so passionate is that we women waste our entire lives. I almost cussed because I always say fucking lives. You can beep that out or cut it out.
No, I'm leaving.
We waste our whole fucking lives and it makes me so mad. We waste our whole lives from as little as one or two to death thinking about, is my hair okay? Are my grays showing? Oh, these highlights got messed up. I gained 5 pounds. My boobs are looking saggy or whatever it is. And it's not always our fault. I'm not saying we are bad or shaming us for doing this. We are taught to do this. We make good consumers when we do this. That's how our culture is run. But it's not okay with me anymore. I don't want to waste my whole life, a life where I could be falling in love, jumping into oceans, creating art, saying something that's important to me. I don't want to waste my life thinking about, are my boobs okay? Are they big enough for some man? Because we say we're doing it for ourselves, and I think we are to an extent. But I really, for me personally, believe that other people in my life maybe wanted me to have fake boobs more than I did, even if they weren't in my life anymore. So I think it's very important to realize all the time we spend thinking about these things that in the end don't matter. On our deathbed, on my deathbed, would I really be like, I'm so glad I got those 355 cc's under my muscle? Like, probably not. It didn't make that big of a difference in my life. And it makes me sad that we spend so much time wasting our minds and our potential on thinking about things that don't light us up, you know?
And our money, just the money alone.
Lots of money. And I spent so much money on getting them in and out, you know? It's a lot of money.
So even when you're sick, when you have like, it's actually it is the root cause. You can trace it back to that. Insurance doesn't cover the explant removal for most. Am I off on that? They don't?
No, I don't. Yeah, it doesn't. They don't cover it because it was cosmetic. Mine didn't. Cosmetic surgery, you did it to yourself kind of thing. Yeah, so I don't mind it. I can't speak for every woman. Maybe some women get it covered, but.
I mean, that is like, you're in the tens of thousands of dollars at that point. You get them in and then mm-hmm. you have to get them out. And then like, man, mm-hmm. you could have done so, so much with that money. That's a whole nother thing too. You feel like shame about that. So what was it like when you made the decision, you were in the doctor's office and you were like, mm-hmm. I want them, but I don't want them. You get them out and then you wake up and you are flat chested. And I know that there can be for certain people like deformities, right? Like when they mm-hmm. are explanted, there could be like adhesions or scar mm-hmm. tissue or it's more deflated. Mm-hmm. What was that reality like after you explanted?
So I woke up probably because of the drugs, but I woke up crying so hard. I think that I was just crying because I'm going to do it again now. I don't want to though. Because I had made a hard choice that I didn't want to make and I knew it was the right choice. And that's, no matter what that refers to in your life, that's something to cry about. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're making the right choice and it's the hard choice, maybe it's not about implants, maybe it's about leaving a relationship or helping someone that you love or whatever it is. Like that's an emotional experience, fighting against the nature of what you wanted to do and doing the right thing. That's probably why I woke up crying. Second reason is I was in so much pain because I had an end block capsulectomy, which is where they don't just pop the implant out. They go in and cut a big enough area to scrape your ribs and to make sure nothing is left. And that was very important to me. It's also much more expensive than just getting it pulled out. So they pulled out my implant and with the capsule around it, everyone's implant creates a capsule. It's like a scar capsule. Essentially, it's your body, me, once again, not a doctor, protecting itself probably by forming a scar around, separating itself from the implant. So I got that pulled out and had to have a tube in my side, which is very common. A tube was like a foot deep in my side so that it could drain. So I woke up in a lot of pain, and didn't even have time yet to think about my flat chest. I hadn't seen my boobs for like probably a few days because I couldn't even move. Like I couldn't even sit up by myself in bed. I was just in so much pain. So I probably saw them a few days in and my boobs aren't really deformed. One's bigger than the other. I do have very large scars across them, but they're not deformed really. So that was nice. I think that's the biggest fear is women thinking if they get an explant, they'll have like grandma boobs or they'll be totally messed up. But honestly, most women, if you go to Breast Implant Illness Healing by Nicole too, you'll see most women come out fine. They look mm-hmm. fine, mm-hmm. just smaller and a little bit scarred. So that was definitely hard, but I was expecting to hate myself afterwards. Like I was expecting to like have to go through so much counseling and do all this stuff, but I didn't. Like I didn't hate myself. It's been extremely easy for the most part to respect and love myself after the surgery. When I went in to get knocked out, I didn't want to do it. I thought it would be the worst thing ever. After the surgery, it was like a gift given to me by the universe or God or whatever of me being like, oh, like I went through so much. I'm not going to hate myself now. Are you kidding? Like, I don't have time for that. So it was kind of, it was sad and weird. And of course your boobs are super bloody afterwards. Mm-hmm. So they don't even look like what they're going to look like. But usually after a few months, they start to look pretty normal.
So what was the process like for you when you, after you healed, you decided, you know what, I'm going to speak out about this. Like you've gone above and beyond, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think the biggest hurdle is that decision to take them mm-hmm. out. That is it's courageous. It's a mm-hmm. lot. It's a big decision. Mm-hmm. But then you took it a step farther and decided mm-hmm. to be what you are today, which is like an advocate and an educator. So how did that happen? Hold up, guys. We get to talk about Fresh Sense. Fresh Sense is setting out to freshen up the cookie cutter floral industry. So what even is it? Fresh Sense, they create modern floral arrangements that are paired with custom designed cards and they are delivered directly to your doorstep. And by modern, I truly mean modern because it's like Instagrammable. These flowers are the only flower arrangement I've ever seen that feel current to where I am at personally in my life. It's me. It's like my style. It's my friend's style. So from the sayings on the cards to the newspaper it's wrapped in, and even down to the box that the flowers are delivered in, it's just current. It's right now. It's well designed. And I don't see anyone in this game doing it like Fresh Sends is doing it. So one of the main reasons I wanted to partner up with Fresh Sends is because, honestly, like the current state of our world, I know that the holidays are here. They're now. And this year is unlike any other year we've ever had. And more of us are going to go without a visit from a loved one or a friend. Or maybe we have to miss out on a wedding that we'd previously been planning to go to because things have changed. You guys, they've changed. So I saw Fresh Sends as a way to kind of commemorate one of these special occasions in a thoughtful way now that maybe we can't be at all the places we want to be at. So one of the best parts of sending a loved one a Fresh Sends flower bouquet is the ease and the simplicity of ordering it. You simply pick out the bouquet. I choose the Sends in the regular size, and then you browse through their many different card options. Like some of my favorites are, one just says, "Oh, happy day," or there's one that's like, "Hey, you deserve flowers today." And then my favorites are always the mom ones because I'm a mom, and it's like, "You're a badass mom." Then you get to choose what you want to Santa. You write your own personalized message that the guys at Fresh Sends will handwrite onto the card for you. And then you pick a date, which you wish it would be delivered on. And then you enter the address that you're sending it to, and you're done. It is 3 steps. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So Fresh Sends delivers throughout the continental United States. No city is too big. No town is too small. They will make sure to get your Fresh Sends to you wherever you are. If you'd like to send some encouragement, you can go to freshsends.com/Wesley or enter code Wesley at checkout for 15% off your first arrangement. So send it, guys. That's freshsends, so sends.com/Wesley to get 15% off your first send. Now let's get back to the show.
So I say it happened by accident because it did. So before my explant, I was in a very dark place, as you can imagine. Once again, didn't want to get them out and was feeling a lot of pain and sadness that every woman probably feels around all sorts of different body image issues. But I made this piece of design because I was like, this is so heavy and hard. How can I make it lighter for myself personally? So I made this design that's the most popular design on the Instagram page. It's the Itty Bitty Titty Committee. It's like two girls are facing each other and it says Itty Bitty Titty Committee on it. And I made it for myself. I posted it on my design Instagram because I'm a brand designer, just for fun. And I said something like, this is a great committee or a great committee or something like that. And then people started commenting on it saying they wanted it on a shirt. And I was like, okay. So I made my friends some shirts because they wanted it on a shirt. And then more people started asking for it on shirts. So I didn't choose to speak out about breast implant illness at all. I feel like I was just connecting with myself and connecting with my voice. And then after people wanted that design, I started Itty Bitty Titty Goods on Instagram just to kind of separate it out from my normal branding work. And then it started growing from there. The Instagram is still pretty small, but it's grown very fast. I haven't done anything to grow it. So it's been really cool seeing people receive these designs and like them. And there's definitely been a need for it. You know, like I don't really know of any t-shirt brands or apparel brands that focus on small boobs, but it turns out that many, many, many women have small boobs. Yes. And want this kind of stuff. So that's been that. And then I think that I'm just a little bit of a rebel and speaking out about this and being bold about it and loving myself the way I am is rebellious in our culture. And so that's probably fueled a lot of it. And I'm also angry, you know. Like I'm angry that this is happening to so many people and that some doctors are lying, not all of them. And that we even have these issues. Like I said, we waste so much time in our lives and our health as women to chase after this standard that we can't quite catch. We'll never really catch it.
It's unattainable. It's inattainable. Mm-hmm. That's why it takes a plastic surgeon to get you. It's just not realistic.
And then once you do all the plastic surgery, you're still not there. I have a friend, she did my boudoir shoot. My 1 year anniversary for my explants coming up in November, and she wanted to do a shoot for me. We were talking about the shoot afterwards, and she said the women that she shoots with the most plastic surgery who have everything, they have like the butt implants, the boob implants, whatever plastic surgery on their faces, they are the ones that are the most unhappy with their photos every time. Mm. Because you can never reach it. And that's mm-hmm. that's the problem, right? Like once you get the breast implants, well, then what can you fix? Okay, maybe you fix your butt, and then what can you fix? And it's just a never ending cycle.
It's an addiction too. It is. Yeah. It's such a thing. The minute you crack that open, it's like, what else? What else? It's like people say that with tattoos. When you get one, you got to get more. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with plastic surgery. It's so damn scary. Mm-hmm. Okay, I forgot to ask you this because this is something I'm so curious about. Mm-hmm. How long until you realize that your symptoms that you were experiencing from the breast implant illness, how long did it take for them to start subsiding? Mm-hmm. Was it right away? Or I heard it's a process for your body to kind of naturally detox from this type of stuff. Yeah.
I think it depends on what you're dealing with and who you are. My back pain was gone immediately. And I hear that all the time about the back and neck pain, that it was gone for many women. It's gone immediately after surgery. I haven't had it since. And I've eaten corn. I have been like, after surgery, I was eating pretty shitty actually, because I was celebrating the fact that I could eat. I could eat, I could drink wine and it wouldn't cause me pain. Like I could eat anything with corn, which would be sugar or whatever, candy, chocolate. I mean, I wasn't sick from what I would eat at all. My neck and back haven't once. Like, and some doctors will be like, that's maybe not true. And I'm like,
holy
yeah,
shit, that
yeah,
is I've heard mind it from other blowing people. To me.
Yeah.
Like the minute you, it's, that's so funny about bodies. Like that just goes to show you like our bodies are meant to heal. They are designed to heal and remain in balance. Like the minute you just took the shit out that was getting in the way, your body fell right back into balance.
Yeah. And not everything, it is so crazy. And not everything is gone though. I will say that. So my neck and back pain is gone. That was the most severe. My food insensitivities are gone, but my eyes, I have very dry eyes. So I'm still healing those. And I'm working with a nutritionist, which I highly recommend, because I saw an eye doctor and they wanted to put a silicone plug into my tear duct. And anything that's a silicone whatever that's going in my body, I'm like, better not. So I am seeing a nutritionist, which honestly I think is actually even more effective. And she's helping me figure out what problems I'm having, what supplements I might need to be taking. And my eyes are getting better, but they are not 100%. And like I said, it's been almost a year.
But that's wild. So, yeah. So I know that there's certain people, I mean, I was kind of prepping a little bit for our show together and I was online and I came across a story of this woman specifically who was on her deathbed from breast implant illness. She lost her hair. She was covered in a thick rash from head to toe. Mm-hmm. She was emaciated, weighed like 100 pounds, normally like 140, totally healthy. Mm-hmm. It was killing her. Like it's like what you said, for some people it is so severe and other people it's, you feel a little bit off. But for this woman, she truly was on her deathbed. She was going to die. And it was like the Hail Mary. Take these things out. Let's see if I get better. And it took her, she said she had them in for like 7 years. And it took her the half-life. So like 3.5 years to fully detox. And like it took her body a minute to kind of sort her shit out just because her case was so severe. But she's such like an advocate for like, don't be impatient. Like this type of sickness took time. This type of healing takes time, but she's completely better. She went on to have like another kid. She has her life back. And I'm just like, this is all from boobs. This is all from boobs. This is wild.
Yeah. The stories are very, very bad. And that's why I say like, I feel so lucky that I didn't have it as severe as some people. Like I have a friend who I've met through Itty Bitty Titty Goods. And she was saying like, I was literally shitting my pants. Like, all of these things are, people have had it so bad, like to the point where they're almost dying. And like you said, the rashes, like all of that is it's so bad. And so many of them, the doctors will say they don't know what's wrong with them because all the tests are fine. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about with yourself and your illness. So it's like, so it like crushes your spirit. I think when you're trying to figure out what's wrong with you and you can't, and some people are on their deathbed, like you said, it's really hard.
There's a thing about when we are intuitive by nature. Women are more, we're just intuitive. And I know that when we are living in our truth, we almost feel crazy. I'm reading this book called Women Who Run With the Wolves. And it says that a woman in her craziest state is in her most divine intuition, because women aren't believed, like you were saying. And I think it's a double-edged sword, because you're dealing with the physical ailments and then the mental side too, where you go crazy when you're not freaking believed. It would be infuriating for me to not be believed when I know that something like this is the root cause. But I think I want to hit on because you have lived through it, like what advice would you give to a woman who thinks that this may be happening for them, that they have implants and they're starting to connect the dots? Because this is it's a wave, right? That hits you when you're like, mm-hmm. oh shit, this might be it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it's important to get a full capsulectomy. Is that the right word? So what's your advice for them?
My first advice is join that Facebook group, Breast Implant Illness Healing by Nicole. There's so many women there to support you. You can post something about a symptom you're having if you're not sure about what it is. And like 100 people or more will comment on it. So that's a very, very, very good resource. And it's so nice to have women that are sticking together and that know, like you said, when you're not believed, these women believe you. They know mm-hmm. It's happening to them. The second thing is it's a hard decision to get your breast implants out. So even though it's an urgent thing that needs to happen, give yourself time to like feel the feelings and to maybe not know what to do sometimes. The third thing, of course, is to be educated on what you need to do to get them out. It will cost a little bit more to get an en bloc capsulectomy, but they say it's important to do that on the breast implant illness group and people that talk about breast implant illness. Some women just decide to get them pulled out. For me, I was willing to spend the extra thousands of dollars to get it done right so that the rest of my life, I wouldn't possibly suffer. You know what I mean? Like it's a huge sacrifice to be like, I'll spend a few thousand less to get them just pulled out rather than do the whole surgery and get your ribs scraped, but you can't go back, you know, mm-hmm. and do it again. So I would say be educated about how you're going to get them out. Find a doctor that will listen to you too.
It makes so much sense to take the capsule out because you were explaining it so beautifully. Like our bodies are brilliant. You put the mm-hmm. foreign object in, it literally created a barrier between you and it. That's how that should tell you right now. Maybe there's something up. Your body literally made a shield because it doesn't fucking want it in there. It made a shield mm-hmm. around it. And then to mm-hmm. leave that shield when it's been cut open and then it could leak the whatever is in that out. I'm totally on board with the get it, do it right. Don't have any questions. Get the capsule mm-hmm. out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a trip.
Yeah. I think it's also important to have that, like I said, that support too from other women is so important because it's so confusing when you're trying to figure out how to get it done. Like there's so many new words. You're like, capsulectomy, what's that? En bloc, what's that? Like, and then there are only a few doctors that do it right. And then you're just so scared to pick a doctor because you don't know if they'll do it right or do it half-assed. And like, there are all sorts of things. Like you want to ask for pictures to see the whole implant once they're out. Like all of these things are very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I think being a part of that group really helps, you know, because when you're doing it on your own, it's just so stressful trying to figure everything out.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Okay. So what I always end the show with this, and mm-hmm. I feel like I already know what your answer is going to be, but what if you could go back in time and give yourself one little piece of advice to the younger mm-hmm. version of you that maybe needed it the most, what would you say to yourself?
Before implants?
Before.
Or just anytime?
Anytime. I guess anytime.
You know, I don't regret getting them in, which sounds crazy, but I think that it's created this, personal journey for me that I wouldn't ever change. So I wouldn't have stopped myself, I don't think, from getting them, which is crazy to say because I spent so much money and right now my car just broke down. I need a new car and it'd be really nice to have that implant money. But it's like a journey I had to go through and a journey that I can share with other people. And that's so important. So I wouldn't go back and change that. But man, I mean, it's so hard to be like, I would go back and tell myself to love myself and to blah, 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 because I wouldn't have listened. That's the other problem with helping people is that I can only tell you so many times to love yourself and that you're worthy and important. So I don't know what I would tell myself, actually. I would probably try to tell myself those things and I know I wouldn't listen.
Yeah,
I know I couldn't believe it. I know I wouldn't believe that I was important and worthy and whatever. I think I needed to go through my own personal journey.
Well, I see you now and you're such like an empowered woman, right? Like maybe it was for you. Maybe you're exactly right. Mm. Maybe this was your path to walk because now you are who you are today because of it. And it is cheesy, right? That is cheesy, but sometimes the cheesy stuff is the most accurate.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just try to pay attention, be present as much as I can and try to make my circumstances work for me. Do you know what I mean? Instead of being sad about this, like what would that do for me and for everyone else?
Victim.
I wouldn't be sitting. Totally. And I wouldn't be sitting here right with you right now talking about this, helping other people that are listening. So just like, I think being aware of like bad things are going to happen to you. I mean, I'll be living longer, hopefully, and more bad things will happen to me as I keep living, all sorts of things. But what can I do in the face of those bad things? And how can I show up every day and help others with my experience? Because I mean, so many people have helped me with their own experiences too, right? Like books I've read or people I've met or women in that group. I think we're all just trying to help each other. There's a quote, I'd forget who it's by, but it says we're all just walking each other home. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like, I'll show up if you'll show up. You're showing up right now by talking about this issue, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I guess what I would tell past Haley is just make sure you always show up as best as you can. Even if some days that means you're just a crying mess on the floor and someone has to come sit next to you. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love you. I think you're so, I think I'm like, I back you 100%. I want people to know where to find you because beyond this, like I said, you are a fantastic digital like brand strategist. They need to go look at your page. So where can they find you?
Thank you. So as far as Itty Bitty Titty Goods goes, it's at Itty Bitty Titty Goods on Instagram. And if you want to find me directly, it's at It's Haley Jordan. And my name is spelled H-A-Y-L-E-E and Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. You can find me on Instagram there. I also have a website that you can find through social media.
Okay. Haley, thank you so much for educating us all, spreading this awareness and just being like showing up. Like you said, you showed up today. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, you guys, we will see you next week.